You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org. Welcome to Heritage Radio Network on Tour. I'm Dylan Hoyer, reporting from Torino, Italy, where I'm a delegate at Terra Madre Salon del Gusto, the largest international event dedicated to good, clean, and fair food, hosted by Slow Food. More than 3,000 people, including farmers, cooks, and food activists from 150 countries, have gathered to discuss the politics of what we eat. I'm so excited to welcome Karina Ocampo, a journalist and the author of La Ruta del Maíz, a book documenting her journey and the journey of corn through Argentina, Bolivia, Peru, and Mexico. Welcome, Karina.
Thank you for this invitation.
So your work in this book revolves around this really interesting comparison and juxtaposition between corn being the cornerstone of our industrial food system in the Americas, and then also it being used for many traditional preparations, especially for indigenous people. So can you tell me a little bit about both of these worlds?
Yes, I think it's very difficult to do a juxtaposition between these two worlds because they are very different. And one contaminates the other. So the native corn, we need to preserve from the other side, and the laws that wants to advance in laws that patent the seeds. So I think it's so much important to have consciousness about this.
And how are native people feeling the impact of industrial seeds and industrial corn?
They are fighting for a lot of years. In Mexico, for example, they have a campaign, Sin Maíz No Hay País, from 2008, I think. And they are doing a lot of things that with the idea to fight to stop the transgenic corn in their country. But it's difficult because the producer have the seed, so they plant it everywhere. And they could contaminate, and the native corn would disappear.
Yeah, and do you think that the origins of corn in America and the fact that it has these really deep roots, did that in some way set the stage for how industrial this crop has become?
The history says that Mexico is the city of the corn. I think the same, like 10,000 of years ago. So then people and industry took this and transformed that. But the origin and the native people like Mayans and from Aztecas too, they are conserved this. And it's like their family. They live with the seeds like if they were family. So it's so nice to see and so amazing to see how they concern about them.
Just, yeah, I'd love to hear a little bit about the history of how and can you talk a little bit about how industrial corn came to be so massive?
Mm-hmm. It was in the Green Revolution when they started to do a big impact in the industry, and they have the toxic to increase the production and to transform the food into something else that is not exactly food. We are consumed and we are eating things that are not food anymore. So it's like it tastes maybe, but it doesn't work. It is not for our bodies. Maybe in 50s and 60s, they started this transformation and then continue to these days, but it's massive. It's amazing that how they could modify the seeds and then sell it or sell to another places, to another countries, that we are eating things very, very bad for our health.
So in trying to feed more of the world with corn, it almost, the food itself lost its soul and its dignity, and it also kind of, it's no longer controlled by people who need to have sovereignty over their food. Is mm-hmm. that right? So you must have tried a lot of different types of corn then. Can you talk about some of the differences you'd see and taste between the different mm-hmm. varieties?
Yes, for example, I can tell you in Peru, they have a big corn with a big seed, and they sell it to another place, but they still consume that. And the taste is very good, so good. And you can go to a market and take it there, or you can go to, there are not so much supermarkets in Cusco, for example. In Lima is a bigger city, but in Cusco is all the little and antique places, and you can go and buy to the mamitas, they say, who sell the corn, and you can taste their fresh corn. And they have another, they can, I don't remember the word. The opposite of wet.
Dry?
Yes. They dry the corn, and they still consume all over the year, not only in the season of the corn. And then in Mexico, for example, everything is made by corn. And you can go in, for example, Dia de Muertos, and take in various, in a lot of ways. Maybe in drinks, in food, in tortillas. The tortillas is the most popular thing that they consume. I ate, for example, tlayudas in Oaxaca. It is made by tortillas and beans, and you can, if you have meat, maybe you can put it, maybe not. You can be a vegetarian, have a vegetarian tlayuda, but it's so good. I like.
Do you have a sense of how many different varieties of corn you've tried during this process?
It's impossible. It's impossible. Yes, so many. I have to add something. They have a flour. They prepare the tortilla nowadays with this flour that you can buy it in supermarket, but it's contaminated with glyphosate. So it's not... it's not healthy anymore, and the people still consuming because the majority of people doesn't know that.
And can you just give, you're already getting at this already, but can you give some examples of corn's importance in indigenous foodways and indigenous culture, whether it's through stories, through food, through farm work? Can you talk a little bit more about some examples that you saw of that?
Mm-hmm. I was at Uchuikosco, like it's a community in the middle of the mountains in the Sacred Valley of Cusco. And they have a celebration with the harvest. And it was so beautiful to see how they do that. And they eat the corn and they put it on a place, prepare for that. And they be so grateful. And with the land is like, and the soil and the mountains are apus, like sacred beings that they honor. So they are mixed this, they are part of this. They are not separated of the earth, they are part.
And earlier you gave a talk here at Terra Madre and you teared up talking about the importance of the land and these plants to you. And it seems like this journey that you went on transformed your relationship with the land mm-hmm. in some ways. Can you talk more about that?
Yes. I said that maybe I was so close to these people, to the native peoples, and I was in the jungle I took ayahuasca too, and I don't know if that or maybe I have more conscious about what is happening with the soil and the land. We are fighting for the rights to grow in the land, to be with the land, and to be part of the land. So I think, yes, it's important. I feel different that I started my journey.
And tell me about the premise of your book. What did you set out to do? And what maybe changed along the way in the project as you learned more? And what surprised you?
Surprise, I have a lot of surprises, but maybe I felt more connected with people that I think we didn't have something in common. But maybe for a friend from Norway, we think the same in different things. So it was amazing for me to share time with, for example, a Mexican family. I spent time a month with them, and I learned a lot. And then for native people too, I think I have an open mind than before.
Can you share some similarities and differences between the culture, the different cultures that you visited and learned about?
Similarities, I think we have a lot of. In these countries, we can separate it two groups, like the native people and the communities and environmentals, and then the other side that is advanced, like I said, with laws and to have the patents of the seed, for example. The differences, okay, these both groups, it can be shown another time.
Okay, another time, that's okay. How was it you experienced so much? How long were you traveling total?
I traveled like 1 year and 3 months.
So you took 1 year and 3 months, plus even more research. What was it like to then sit down and write your book? Were you writing along the way? What was the process like of translating all that lived experience into the book?
I had an Instagram, and so I was writing. Meanwhile, I was traveling. So I had to work too. So a lot of time I spent my day working in different things. And then when I could sit down and try to think, I had a lot of recordings. I have a lot of recordings, so I had to hear them, and I have time because we were on pandemic, so I got time to do it. And it was nice to do, because all the knowledge I had, I put it and hear the records, and then I have memories with that, emotional memories. So I could do, I think, a long process.
Then maybe there's more to come. What is something that you wish more people in the Americas understood about corn?
I wish they could see how important is the corn for these people, how sacred it is. Not only the corn, all crops have a sense, a purpose. All the crops have a purpose here in this city, in this world. So maybe we should see how the communities feel the nature, and then try to rethink or memorize what we lost because we lost living in the city, we lost the contact with nature. So I think maybe if you see, if you open your mind and see what they are doing in the communities, maybe we could change the things that is happening nowadays.
In your talk, you mentioned living in Buenos Aires, you began to feel disconnected with nature, and you were surprised to learn how industrial farming was impacting, you know, communities outside of your city. Can you talk a little bit about that awakening for you and what other people not so far from you are going through?
Mm-hmm. Yes, maybe in the 90s started the thing with the first soybean, the transgenic soybean that entered in Argentina. And then the people starting to be sick and dying with cancer. For example, we have areas, regions of Argentina, like Córdoba, Entre Ríos, where the people, a lot of people, kids, are dying. This is been happening a lot of years. So I need to tell the people that this is happening because our production is sick too. So we need to change this.
Is it the production process and factories that are making them sick? Is it the food itself? What's causing the
illness? Everything. The impact of the transgenic with poisons affects the fertility of the soil, and obviously the water, the environmental, everything.
The pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next for you? What else are you working on and excited about?
I am participating in some mobilizations. For example, in Catamarca, another province, we had problem with the mining, and we are fighting for, and I writing about. We are organizing a festival, a big festival in October in Andalgalá. So we are trying to invite the people to come and to share this information because it's important. They need to preserve their water because the mining affects everything, the mountain, the water. And then I would love to make a documentary, maybe about the whales, but this project is starting, so I'm looking for some financial and that.
Wow. Do you consider yourself an activist?
I consider myself an activist, yes.
Have you always, as being a journalist as well, do you think those go hand in hand?
No. When I start about talking about culture. And then when I realized that it's happening in my country, I thought that it was more important to talk about it. I couldn't see in another direction. I couldn't talk about movies or what's happening in the TV if people are dying.
You're also, while you're at Terra Madre, attending a feminist meeting. And I wanted to learn more about that and hear your thoughts about the intersections and connections between food and feminism.
Mm-hmm. I think, yes, feminism is crossing everything. Feminism is inside, this is in our vision. So everything we do is with this paradigm. I was in another meeting who fight with Zapatistas. And it was amazing for me to know the problems of the women of the world. So I try to learn about this and to share what I learned here in Terra Madre. Maybe I could know a woman from another places with another problems, and try to do this network and to do for the future too, to have a place we can talk and discuss and share what we are learning, because every day, every time we are learning things and to protect us.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to share or talk about before we wrap up?
I can tell you my contact,
Yeah, please.
Okay. I have a Proyecto Maíz, is like a corn project, but in Spanish, Proyecto Maíz. And you can follow me if you want and look at what we are doing. I am with a shelter of seeds in Hunger Museum in Buenos Aires, so we are circulating seed and trying to be the more agroecological possible.
Thank you so much, and thank you to everybody for listening. Listen to more of Heritage Radio Network on Tour's coverage of Terra Madre and other food events around the globe, wherever you get your podcasts. A big thank you to Slow Food and the Italian Trade Agency for hosting me here at Terra Madre. Heritage Radio Network on Tour is a production of Heritage Radio Network, the world's pioneer food radio station. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org and follow us at heritage_radio.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe. HRN On Tour is powered by Simplecast. This episode of HRN On Tour was produced in part by generous funding from the Julia Child Foundation.